first one to give the testimony, so I can say everything before everyone else does. First of all, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture that greatly encouraged me on this trip. It's Romans 10, 13 through 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And it was such a blessing to know that we were going there to be a blessing to some people, Lord, and serve the Lord and not just serve ourselves all the time. It was a blessing to know that we're fulfilling the Great Commission. The trip helped me out spiritually quite a lot with my walk with the Lord, and one of the things that struck me is how receptive the people were, especially in Mexico. We passed out some John and Romans in El Paso too, and they were very receptive there as well, but mostly in Mexico, just because they're not eaten up with materialism like a lot of people here in America are, and they have needs, and they were very humble and accepted the John and Romans and came to the meetings and heard the gospel, and like you saw earlier, many of them professed to accept Christ as their Savior, so that was a huge blessing to see, and it was actually my first time being out of the U.S. witnessing, so as I said before, just a tremendous blessing, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you for your guys' prayers. It was definitely a blessing, and I'm so thankful I was able to be a part of it, and to have my last mission trip with the teens, and especially in my senior year, it was really neat. I looked up, once you get up here, everybody keeps on saying it was a blessing, and it seems like the word is overused, but it really isn't, because it really was. It was an encouragement, and I even looked up synonyms for blessings, and I couldn't find anything, so I'm just going to keep on using the word, so sorry. But thank you for your support, not only in prayers, but just support in general, encouraging notes or financial needs. A few months previous, I didn't have a job to supply to get the money for the trip and things like that, and I had saved it from a past summer. But though I was like, Lord, you know, I'm trying to get a job, but it just didn't work out. And he supplied it through the graduation money. So thank you, guys. You guys had a part in that of allowing me to go. So that was definitely a blessing and answer to prayer. Through that and just through Mexico and Moldova and just different things the Lord has taught me on these missions trips, it was a blessing to be able to go on both of them, because I know that they prepared me even more for PBI and what the Lord has ahead. And just one of the things that the Lord has shown me recently, that he's not going to put something in front of you that you can't handle. He's going to prepare you for it before he puts you in that situation. And it was just a blessing for to see that and how the Lord worked in each of our lives with whatever is coming up. Another blessing was having my family with. And so that made it Moldova really weird, because I was the only one. I didn't even have my dad with. Each mission trip I've gone on, I've had my dad. So it's just a blessing over the years to be able to do that and to be with all the teens. Sometimes we'd get a little crazy, and we'd apologize to Brother Hector and stuff, like, sorry, we're so weird and hyper and stuff, and like just sing super loud. And I asked Annalisa, I was like, why are we so crazy? Like, I don't know. I mean, I know we're just energetic. She's like, Naomi, we've been together for so long. We've known each other since nursery, pretty much the whole group. So that's why there's just too many inside jokes and growing spiritually together, going on mission trips. So I'm going to really miss doing all that stuff with you guys. But it was a blessing having just seeing how the Lord worked even through the language barrier. One of the days, Brother Hector said, you know, you're not going to be able to witness to them fully because of the language, but they can see the language of love, and that you want, that you have compassion on them, that nobody else really has on them. So that was a blessing to see, and they could tell. You could see it in their eyes that they could tell you cared. During a lot of the meetings, we would be doing different things. It was really neat to see one person would help hold the, or three people would help hold the chalk sign, and another person would be watching the dogs, and another person would be making sure that all the babies were okay, and another person would, like, everybody was doing a different job. So that was really neat to see. Everybody just took something and ran with it and did their job, and nobody was just really sitting around. They were trying to do something active. But the biggest thing the Lord really dealt with me was through Mexico was pray without ceasing. As we did the collating of the John and Romans, and as we passed them out, praying for the person that you're passing it out to, and while Brother Hector is preaching, while they're doing the puppet show, that the kids will understand. And it's just neat trying to focus your mind to remember to pray without ceasing, constantly in prayer for all those things. And it was just a blessing to just get a different perspective of the mission field through those two things, and just feel a burden for different people. So thank you again for your prayers. I don't really know what I'm supposed to say, but I'll start off by thank you for your prayers. You're going to hear it a lot, but it really does help, because that one night when it was the big storm, we were all praying, like, oh, keep the storm away, Lord, just help it to stay away for a little bit. And then afterwards, I think it was Annalisa, she was like, when we were praying, you guys were at church probably praying, like, help for good weather. It was like 7:30 on Wednesday or something like that. So it was like almost the same time. It was really cool. But I just wanted to say, thank you again. It was really cool because I didn't have the money to go until I got my job. And at first, I didn't get my job. I got a second chance, pretty much. I asked for my job, and they said, no, we don't need help right now. And I just prayed, like, Lord, I really want to go on this mission trip. I know you want me to. Just help me to find a job or get money in some way. And literally the next day, another lady there said, oh, I'd like your help for the summer. Could you come? And I was able to pay for the missions trip. So that was a huge blessing. And when we were there, it was really cool because you would collate the scriptures in the morning, and then that afternoon you would go and pass them out. And it's like, I put this together and I'm giving it to someone, but I wasn't there. Maybe this person didn't get this. You know, it was really cool how that worked. And while you're passing them out, you don't go to very many houses, but you would pass out a ton, but it didn't feel like you were doing a lot, but you were, definitely were. And you would go to the meetings afterwards, and you'd pick out the people in the crowd that you handed that John and Romans to and invited them there. It was definitely encouraging for me. But I just wanted to thank you guys and thank the teens. The seniors will be missed. We might mellow down a little bit now that you guys are gone, but I had to say it, sorry guys. Anyways, it was a huge blessing getting to know the Samuel more, as they're just new. It's going to be a blessing to get Emma and Garrick, get to know them a little bit more. But yeah, thank you for your prayers.
Pretty much everybody's going to say thank you for your prayers, and it was a big blessing. It was kind of funny because when people would ask what I was doing this summer, I'd be like, well, I'm really busy, but I'm going on a missions trip to Mexico or in El Paso. And they would be like, oh, what are you going to do? Are you going to build an orphanage or a house? I was like, no, we're going to collate scriptures and pass out John and Romans. They were like, oh, okay. Okay, you're one of those people. Okay. But it was just a blessing because when they would say that, I would just be like, you're like that because you're not bold enough to go yourself. But you're just bold enough to go build homes and stuff. But I mean, that meets their physical needs, but that doesn't meet their spiritual needs. I mean, that won't help them in eternity. So, but there's three different things that the Lord spoke to me a lot through. Every time we would get in the van, Brother Hector would ask for three volunteers to pray, just for like newly saved people, just like borderlines and stuff. And Jacob prayed one time, and he said, Lord, please help the borderline to be the shortest it's ever been. And when we got to the border, there was only four or five cars in front of us. So I was like, wow, that was cool. But the second thing was the rain thing. I was going to tell a story. Thanks, Brother John. No, I'm just kidding. But it was just really cool because Annalisa said that there was a huge bright rainbow. It was just kind of like the Lord was saying, like, hey, I got you. Don't worry about it. But and then the third thing, it wasn't like a specific instance. It was just over the course of the week. It was just really neat to see that the people down there have such an interest in the gospel when they basically have next to nothing. Because, I mean, up here, like Samuel said, there people are just, like, overwhelmed with materialism. Like, they don't need anything. Like, they're good. But down there, they're so receptive. Like, 35 to 40 people got saved. So that was just a huge blessing to me. It was encouragement to see that people actually still want to hear. So another blessing was the means of earning the money for it. At first, I wasn't really praying because I was just like, I'll just go because everybody else does. But then it got closer to, like, we needed this much money by this date. And I was like, okay, this is, I guess I should probably start praying now, which is not good. But so I was like, Lord, if you want me to go on this trip, please show me. And that night, Michelle texted me and asked me to babysit that Friday. So I was like, okay, well, I guess there's a little bit. And then I needed more. So I prayed again. And the next time, the next church day, Sarah came up to me and asked me to work at her daycare. So that was just like, okay, I guess you want me to go, Lord. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. And a lot of memories were made. but yeah, thank you for your grace.
I want to just say thank you for praying. And this was my first mission trip, so it was a new experience for me. And one of the blessings I got out of it was you always got paired with one of the locals from the church. And even though you couldn't speak the language, you always laughed or always made fun, and you always had fun with them, and there was never a dull moment with them. And what Emma already said about the rain, it was just cool how, like, we all got in different groups and always we were praying, and it was just cool to see that the rain went away. And it was always fun. And like, when we always got something, like talking about something, okay, we need to change the subject, we always sing. We'd always sing really loud in different songs, and so now we know a lot of songs by memory. And I just want to say again, thank you for praying for us, and it wouldn't be like how we had it without you praying. And yeah, so thank you.
Got about one story left now, but everybody took my stories. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways. Everybody said about the rain, you could tell everybody was praying. It's just, you look up in the sky and there's a big blue circle around us. All around you see it's raining. And yeah, just like the rainbow, it was, thank you all so much for your prayers. They were definitely noticed. And just the Lord was a big blessing to me, what he showed me. Like, he didn't have to show me, but the first day, Mrs. Darling and I went with one of the locals and we invited people. And two of those people ended up coming to the meeting, and the two people actually got saved there in the picture. So that was just a blessing, the Lord showing me, like, you came for a reason. And so that was a big blessing. And then another night, Wednesday, that rainy night, I went around. I was watching the dogs, keeping them away, because I didn't mind biting them. Whatever, so I kept the dogs away. And I noticed this guy over there. He had just pulled in, so I went over and talked to him. I said, hey, we're having a puppet in the parquet. Like, didn't know it. He didn't know any English, anything, but I tried to explain. He's like, okay, come in a minute. And then so he ended up missing, like, a lot of it, but he came, and just for a few minutes of hearing what he heard, he ended up getting saved in the end. So that was just a blessing, the Lord showing me again his blessings on that. And then so it was a big blessing with that. And yeah, and just this teen group, it's such a blessing to be in the teen group with y'all. I'm gonna miss being in it, but it's a blessing. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Darling, for taking us. It's great. And then I'll wrap it up with an embarrassing/funny story. I gave a guy a John and Robin, and I said, Buenos tardes. And he goes, oh, you know Spanish. I say, no, just enough to hold a sentence. And he goes, okay, try it out on me. So what I did, I said, how is your mother? And he goes, oh, she's dead. I go, oh. And I said, how is your father? And he goes, dead. I go, oh, bueno. And I walk away. And bueno means good. So I told him his parents that it was good that his parents was dead. So that was an accident, and we both learned a lesson. Don't speak Spanish if you don't know it, and don't ask your English girl if you know Spanish. So thank you all again for your prayers.
So everyone's been saying this, but this trip was a real blessing, even for me, because it's my first trip that I've been to, well, been on, first real trip. But some of the things there were really, really great to see. Like many people have said, the rain, the trip back, our last night, the trip back to the border, there was almost no one there. But one of the most awesome things that I've seen was you're just walking, you'll see a car, you wave them down, they're so interested in the thing that you have that they will stop and take it from you, almost every single car. And it's crazy to see that those Mexican people are so interested in that, just that piece of paper, basically, that they will stop their vehicle for wherever they're going, from wherever they're going to, and just take that from you. But yeah, a lot of the trip was a great blessing to me, especially with being with the seniors who are getting ready to leave out, or getting ready to leave our group, and just growing closer to them through everything. And I just thank you guys for your prayers. And
well, I guess this means I'm the last person. So, if Annalisa had one story, I have none. No, I'm just joking. Whenever these trips come up, I'm like, all right, Lord, I'll do this for you. Just ride the money and all this stuff, and he works it out. And I'm like, oh, Lord, what about the testimonies? Like, oh, mission trip isn't the hard part, it's the testimony. So, yeah, but no, it was a really big blessing. And one of the biggest things I got out of it, through just the preaching and the handing out tracts and the sermons and all that stuff, is when I was down there, and, you know, you're giving them out, and it's like, you know, spend the money or whatever, that, all that kind of stuff. But then you get done, you come back to Minnesota for this one, and it's like the Lord just kind of shows you, you know, you're walking down or driving down the street, and it's like, all right, Peter, this is your mission field. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, sure, you know, we go down, and that's really good, and you know, a lot of souls got saved, so the Lord had a purpose for that, and it was a really big blessing. But the Lord just showed me through this trip that when I'm not in Mexico or Puerto Rico or wherever we've been, that Minnesota is our mission field. Yes, so, amen. So yeah, thank you.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and us blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever part me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen.
Pastor, and bring two Bibles up.
I was in Mexico and I brought my one Bible because I didn't want to lose it, so I have notes kind of in bulk. So, but I'm going to start off mainly with my testimony first. We just thought it'd be easier to go this way instead of doing both. So, let's see. It's papers. Mainly this trip, I went on it. Not just because it was my last one, but also when we Brother Darlin asked, he asked where would we want to go. He was like, Puerto Rico or Mexico. And when I was praying about it, I didn't really start praying about it till Brother Darlin was like, okay, guys, it's less than a year away. We got to figure out where we're going. So I was like, yeah, maybe I should. I should have started a long time ago. And so, like, everyone was asking, and Brother Darlin was like, I heard from my perspective that they wanted to go to Puerto Rico more, but then I heard Mexico. And me, I wanted to go to Puerto Rico because I just like the experience of we're out 8 hours a day handing out John and Romans. And from hearing about it, Jake, you go there and, like, they're all saying, you don't know the language and they don't know English as much as, like, Puerto Rico or, say, Vancouver, my first mission trip. So you kind of just stood there. I got to go 2 days in a row with an 8-year-old boy, I think. And it was just a blessing to be with him because, like everyone said, that you may not know each other's language, but the joy of the Lord, just the love that each other... I try to ask him something, and like he wouldn't get it, so you'd just kind of laugh it off, and he would laugh with you, and... He knew how to say no English. I know how to say no Espanol, so that's about all we could say. But it's just kind of funny because, like, here in America, you get Christians not wanting to go out on the street and pass out gospel tracts, and here in Mexico, you got little 8-year-olds and 7-year-olds with enough confidence to go and say, hey, we're having a meeting at the park, and they... From my perspective, it's like, what is it for? And they go, well, we're having a gospel, a preaching, salvation message, and a puppet show. And, like, it's just so neat to have somebody like that. And I know everyone said this, but I'm going to be the 9th one to say it. Thanks for your prayers. It's been a huge blessing. And this trip is my last mission trip with as a teenager. I'm graduating a year early, but still, it's been such a great time getting to know all these people, all the teens, all you guys, and especially Jake, as he'll be leaving tomorrow. It's kind of sad about that, but, and then, when we got there, it was kind of like, we had devotions each night, and then we had, what we've been doing Sunday mornings is we go over Proverbs, and I'm not a great Bible reader. I'm not a great reader. I don't like reading, and I don't like sitting down and reading. Don't like sitting down to go pray. But, like, on this trip, I knew I needed to read my Bible more. I knew I needed to pray more. So on this trip, I was just praying that God would make me a better Bible reader, better at praying, take the time. So, like, a month before the trip, I kind of started being like, okay, you know what? I get up early in the morning for work, and I'm so tired. I'm like, oh, I'll just do my Bible reading later, which is a bad thing to do. It's the best to read it right away in the morning. But what I started doing is, instead of going to bed right away, if I don't get at least my Proverbs in, I'll sit in my bed and read it, because And I just noticed, like, so I usually try to go to bed early because I get up and I like my sleep, like we all do. And so I'm just like, I started praying, just being hard on myself, like, Lord, don't let me rest easy if I don't at least read my Proverbs in the night. So just trying to read my Proverbs every night before I go to bed to help with that. And like, when I read my Proverbs, he gives me such a peaceful night rest and gets me up, and I just feel energized for the next day. So that was a huge blessing. And don't usually write notes, but I always forget stuff, so let's see. During this trip, I was, so like you have Jake and Naomi going off to Bible school, and then for the other two, three seniors, me, Sam, and Ollie, so we're staying here. I'm going to start this fall trying to go to school for an EMT school, and just kind of like on the side, to help out around church, I was like, well, what can I do, Lord? What can I help with? And down there, it's like everyone's saying, well, the Lord spoke to me, well, the Lord spoke to me, not just on this trip, but here in church when you hear testimonies after revivals. And I'm kind of like, well, how do you know he speaks to you? And so I was down there, and he kind of showed me, like, when I was like, Brother Hector, one, I forget if it was day or night, he was like, well, they used to have, could do like 10 or 12 trips in a summer, but passports, like, some of the churches didn't want to get passports to go down there, so like they can only do so many trips now because nobody wants to go down there just to get a passport to go across the border. And so while I was down there, I was kind of like praying that God maybe send someone down there, or if you want me, so just to help out like for a month, because there's a guy there that has been going down there every year the last 3 years, helping out for a month, helping them with all the puppet shows, the meetings, loading, just doing random stuff. So I was just kind of like, well, maybe that'd be fun to do, or fun to help that church out down there. So if you can pray about that, I'm going to be praying over the rest of the summer and winter about going down there next year around this time to help them out. Just maybe summer, maybe just a month, see what the Lord has for that. Just kind of a funny story out in the street. I've never had this before, but I had this one guy come up to me. I saw him from down the street, and I was with Sam and this other girl named Mel, and they were stopped, started witnessing, and they kind of disappeared. So I walked up the street, handed out John Romans, and came back, and I saw him crouching down witnessing to somebody. And I was just like, oh, so I'll just stand here passing out John Romans down the street away from him. And this guy walks up to me, and he goes, do you smoke? And I'm like, no. He's like, he spoke it in English. We're in El Paso. And so I handed him a John Romans, and he's like, oh, come here with me a second. And there's a sign right next to the sidewalk. I think he just wanted to get out of shade because that's kind of what it looked like. So I just stood next to him right there and tried witnessing to him. But I wouldn't say he was necessarily convicted, but like he knew some of the answers and knew that I was right in what I was saying, because he kept saying, well, I hope I'll go to heaven, hope I get go to heaven. And I was like, well, you want me to show you right now? And he's like, well, I like your hair. And like just kept going on different topics. So I was like, oh, okay, kind of like forget it, this guy can't hold a straight conversation. So I walked off because Sam and Mel walked up, so we walked down the street and he's ahead of us. I was like, so I saw him kind of like stopping, looking back at us. So I was like, hey guys, let's stop, cross the street. So we stop, cross the street, and we turn around, and lo and behold, this guy's right in between me and Sam, just pops up. And Sam goes, can I help you? And the guy's just like, no, I just want to talk to you guys. Just like, and kept following us. So I was like, okay guys, let's just stop here and pass out tracks. But and then he got, finally went away. But it was just like, I've never had that happen before, where a guy just stops and just starts talking to you. But that's really all for my testimony. I have kind of more in my sermon. Never done this before. Hopefully it goes well. But thank you for your prayers. Now that I'll be said one more time, probably, Mr. and Mrs. Darling, maybe two more times. So if we can just start off with a word of prayer, then we can start. Dear Lord, thank you for this nice day, this evening, bringing us all these people out here to listen to what us teens have to say about our trip. I pray that you give me the words to say, just as I've heard people say before, just get me out of the way and have what you want me to say, not say anything out of hand, but I just pray that you give me calmness of spirit and when Jake comes up here afterwards, and that you give the rest of the evening to go well. In Jesus' name, amen. So, kind of in the plane on the ride home, I was still like, no, I don't want to preach, and because I don't like talking in front of people like this, and I just try not to make eye contact. So if I'm not looking at you guys, I'm just trying to stay not so nervous. So, so on the way back, I was in the plane, and me and Jake got to sit next to each other, which was kind of cool because we were both the ones preaching tonight. So I kind of like rewrit stuff like 3 different times and was like, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what... And then kind of came across as something of 3 type of things that I kept like rewriting down out of all the papers. It's like, okay, maybe it's that. And so then I was like, now I need to find a title. And so it's kind of a weird title, but I called it Measuring Stick. Just kind of something that I want to try and base my life off of and follow. So for my first point is praise the Lord. And then if you guys want to turn to Psalm 135, a lot of the references are going to be out of Psalms tonight, but got a couple other ones. Sorry if it doesn't flow and it kind of mumbled jumbled, but I try to keep it flowing. I don't know how well I did. So in Psalms 135, we got verses 1, 3, and 13. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. And in verse 3 it says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. And in verse 13, thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. And so, just kind of something like praising the Lord through singing with these verses, that's what I kind of got out of it. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord. It says that in a lot of the Psalms. And then in verse 13 it says, and thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. But at work, I don't have... you have saved people, I know that for sure, but their music, like, their music isn't always honoring and glorifying to God. So, like, music choices is a very important thing to keep you in the walk with the Lord. And that's one thing. Like, I'm not a good musician, not a good singer, but I like singing with the teen group. And when they all like to sing parts, I have no idea what they're talking about, but it's fun to sing with them. And in the van every night, literally from, I don't know if we did Sunday, but Monday through Friday, and on the way home, we sang every time we were in the van. That, so if our specials later tonight sound off, that's probably why. But and then like also just like music choices, and like when you have friends that have different music, but you play your own music, and they kind of think it's weird. But like when they play your their music, it's like the way you act around it shows them. Like if you were like kind of tapping to the beat, sometimes you got to watch yourself with that, because I catch myself doing it a lot. Or like when they ask you what about it, and you say, "Ah, yeah, I kind of like it," just to kind of stop the conversation. But you got to watch what you do when you're around your friends about music, because then they're like, "Oh, he's kind of like one of us," and then they invite you to your church, and how's that? And then soon you sometimes start going with them. I don't know, but that's just kind of something that I get a lot with music, because a lot of people my age like music. So, and then prayer, like I talked to my testimony, praying every day to grow close to the Lord. And it said, Naomi already said it, but pray without ceasing. Pray for unlimited blessings he gives you. And let's see, I have a reference. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I already quoted it. Pray without ceasing. But if you go to Let me see first. Kind of just Psalm 72:15. I'll read it just time and it. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. So kind of just going back with the singing and prayer. By praying to him, it's also praising the Lord. So you can pray to praise the Lord, like with all the blessings he gives you, and going through your daily walk with the Lord, you are struggling through the day, and just pray to him. Pray without ceasing, like Naomi said. That's just something that I was asking, that just like everyone said, Wednesday on the mountain with the rain, I was supposed to do puppets that night, but I said, no, I'll stay in here and hold the speaker, mainly because, not that I was too chicken to do the puppets, which I was mainly just because I wanted to sit there and just pray that the rain would stay away, because it was really windy and you could tell it would have probably rained if we weren't there. And so just, yeah, pray without ceasing. And then another way to praise the Lord is witnessing. Witnessing to friends, family, even strangers. Like, just like Brother Dylan's used this a lot in class, passing out tracts. Like, oh, you don't have one on you? At least say something. Ask them a question or something. Or like you're in the line at the gas station, hand them a tract or something and ask them to read it on their break or something. And if you, in Matthew 24, it says in verse 13 and 14, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And so, just kind of like going on street preaching, going throughout your daily life, keep tracts on you, hand them out, and tell, like, you don't want to get to heaven and find that somebody is in hell because they never had anybody but you in their life that was a Christian. Yeah. And I've heard a bunch of people preach it before, like, you may be, like, take some of us teens and split it up through lots of different friends. We all come in within, like, we've gone over in class, probably like 30 different types of people, groups or something, and that we'll never come in contact with. So just like that, you may be their only chance to get to heaven. So also with going to Mexico, like, if we didn't go, yeah, we may not have been able to speak the language, but what if the Mexicans didn't go that were in that church? What if they didn't go to those people because we weren't there? So just kind of with that. And then Bible reading is something that we all probably struggle with. I know I do. And like I already said, before I go to bed, I try and finish reading or get to my Proverbs. And it says in Psalms 127, 2, I just found this verse kind of at camp in 2015 with Brother Darling. He came across it and read it to us. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And so I just, like, I highlighted that verse a while back, and it came across my mind again. I'm like, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. So I just kind of got out of that, as reading your Bible helps, gives you sleep, I guess. And then moving on to the next one, giving thanks, for his mercy endureth forever. And then, let's see. And in Psalms 136, I'm just going to read a couple verses. It says it a lot in this verse, and if you notice at the end of every verse, it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
O give thanks unto the God of the gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord, O lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And if you go through that whole passage of 136, from what I saw, every part just talks about the Lord's mercy endureth forever. Giving thanks to him every day, giving him when he provides food for you, or like say you own your own business and you, that's the way you make money. Just giving him thanks for the jobs you do have to do, the giving you the time off of work to go on mission trips. And yeah. Then if we go to Isaiah 36, verse 4, I have a lot of different references, so hopefully they all make sense. Nope, that's not it. Okay, never mind about that. That's the wrong verse. I wrote it down wrong. So we're just going to skip that. Oh, that's why. I was looking at a different point. I'll just read this one. In Psalms 118, verse 14, it says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation." Giving thanks to him, he gives you strength, and praising him gives you strength. And just by doing that and having him put him first and stuff gives you the strength to go on the walk with the Lord. And then if we go on to another one, is him being risen from the dead. Give thanks about him dying and living forevermore. And 1 Corinthians 15:55, I think it became one of my favorite verses over there, because I heard it quoted a lot of different times of people, like in songs, people saying it. It says, now I'm drawing a blank on it. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The devil can't hold God down. So it's just one of my new favorite verses, because if you're saved, where is thy sting, O death? He can't hold you down anymore. You're going to heaven. And I'm happy for that, to say that I am. I'm not going to hell. And then last but not least, we have "Remember thy victories." And going back to Psalms, I guess, 136 says, "Who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endureth forever." That's verse 23. And then I'm just... for this, it was kind of hard to find stuff about, just in closing, mainly, remembering thy victories. Like, I've been on 3 mission trips, and you come back like, "Oh, wow, that was so fast." We said at the start of the week, "Oh, yeah, it's going to go by so quick, and by the time we're done, we're going to go back normal routine," and like, "Oh, that was quick. What did we even do there?" So, I guess, remember the... write stuff down. Remember high points of that trip. Like, just, it'll help you. Like, remember when you were at on the mission trip and something wasn't going right. And, excuse me. And remember that, how he helped you through it, like the rain. He didn't have to. We could have sat there and who knows how many people would have came, but we could have sat there in the rain. But he held the rain off for us. So that was a victory that I saw. I took it that way. And then I turn over. It says in Luke 24:6-8, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day risen again. And they remembered his words." Mainly in verse 8, "And they remembered his words." So, not just being in the book and going through a trial in your life, and you just remember something you read that day in the past, just, and that helps you through, I guess, whatever. Say you're in a hospital with somebody dying, and yeah, they could be lost or saved, and just remember some victories God gave you that will help overcome that. I'm going to turn... This is just kind of in closing the last verse. Trying to find something in the longest chapter of the Bible. Okay. It says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." And it says in 52, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. And in 55 of 119, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts, in verse through 56. Just kind of like, remember thy victories, remember how God helps you through, like, throughout your daily walk. Could be something really little, could be something big, just... Remember what the Lord's done for you. And one more thing, and I think I'm done. Just Psalms 117:17 says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations, praise him, all you people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." And I just kind of thought that was cool because it says, "Oh, praise ye the Lord, and then endureth forever, and merciful kindness." Kind of, I thought, went with all my points, so I just wanted to read that part. And then in 118, Psalms has a lot of this. It says, "Oh, give thanks, oh, praise ye the Lord." In verse 117 and 118, "I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." And in verse 118, if you notice, most of them ended, the first couple end in, "His mercy endureth forever." In closing, I guess, I said that a lot, but just remember what he's done for you. Praise his name, because his mercy endureth forever. Even when you mess up, he'll still be there for you. He'll be there to help you. That's all. And I think we're going to have a guys group real quick, so...
Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope nor joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and he showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side. Well, I'm on side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've been listed in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. From the straight and narrow way I was driven every day, out upon the waters deep and wide. But it all is over now, glory light is on my brow, and my soul is on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near. And in him so often I confide. He's the keeper of my soul, since I gave him full control. And he placed me on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've been listed in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise
my turn now. And since everybody took the stories, I'm just going to make up some. So, no, but as you've heard, the two cliches for this trip, but this trip was a blessing. Thank you for your prayers. We really got to see him work. This is a funny story briefly before we get going. You'd be amazed at how much the songs change when you're in the van for an hour and a half at a border crossing. You go from singing, you know, It Is Well With My Soul and Saved By the Blood to, you know, Saved Every Day of the Week, or you're singing I'm Alive, Alert, Awake, Enthusiastic. You're like, how did we get here, you know? But it's just kind of funny how you go from you're 18 and now we're singing four-year-old songs, you know? It's like we went through a timeline of songs from all the classrooms we were in as we were in that van. So, no, this trip was a huge blessing. This is my last mission trip with the teens as a senior, as well as Naomi and Ben and all the other seniors. I really prayed for this trip. I was like that the Lord would show himself real personally to me, but also the group. And he did that mainly on Wednesday night. And that was by, obviously, everybody's told you, but the rain, the Lord held the rain off and everything. And then the big rainbow, and then the border crossing was just kind of the cherry on top of the ice cream at the end of the day. You know, it's just like, just kind of, God's like, ah, I gave you a rainbow, and how about this? You know, and then we celebrated with Krispy Kreme, so it got even better. So, it was just a huge blessing, and just a couple funny moments before I get into my sermon, because most of my sermon is my testimony. So, when you're working with a bunch of Mexicans, and you know that their average height is just a little less than the United States, so when you're walking around, you feel like you're in the cast of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. You're like, who are you working with today? Oh, there you are. Okay. And you know, and then you're just walking around, and you got all the little Mexican kids. You know, they walk up to the door, like, "Buenos tardes, buenos tardes." And then you could always hear, you know, whatever group Ben or I was in, because you'd, "Buenos tardes." You know, and the Mexican kids would be like, you know, like, "What?" No. One time, I had one of the kids. They were really quiet, and then I yelled out, "Good afternoon" in Spanish, and he just turns and goes, you know. So it was a real blessing. I mean, the language barrier, obviously, it was really difficult because you're like, I want to talk to you, but I can't. Here, just take this booklet and come to the park, you know. But it was still a blessing to have the camaraderie and the Christian fellowship that we all have the same Savior and the common goal. But one more funny story about Sam, you know, just another crazy moment in the van. This isn't what you think it is, by the way. But we're just sitting in there, and I was up in the front of the van, and Sam was in the back of the van, and Peter and Sam were just goofing off like they usually do at a border crossing. And he was telling a story about his work, but I didn't know, and he was telling about how a bull snuck up behind him at work, and I didn't hear the whole story. So the people in the front seat all of a sudden just hear Sam yell, "El Toro Loco!" It's like, what? Are you practicing your Spanish or what? But it was really funny. He's like, no, I was telling a story about work. I was like, okay. And even Brother Hector was like, what are you doing? It was just really funny. Halfway through the border crossing, this 19-year-old guy yells from the back in Spanish. It's like, whatever. But well, this trip was a huge blessing. Thank you for your prayers. If you could open your Bible tonight to Luke 12:48. And then when you get there, we'll get started with a word of prayer. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the service so far, Lord. I pray you just bless this sermon, Lord. A lot has gone into it, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to preach to your people, Lord. I pray that you just calm my nerves, gives you the words to speak. And get, as Ben said, get me out of the way. And if this sermon touches one soul tonight, it'll all be worth it. That you just bless the rest of this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Luke 12:48, I'll be concentrating on the second part of the verse, but I'll read the whole verse to start out. "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." And this is the part of the verse that I'm focusing on. "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." The main thing when I was down in Mexico walking around the streets is I noticed the zeal of the people there when they saw that there were these people from another country coming to help them, and they're always excited to go out, and they're always cheerful, they're always nice, very understanding with our American pronunciation of Spanish words. But the thing the Lord really touched me with was their zeal. And this verse popped into my head, like, why aren't we doing the same thing they are? Because they have next to nothing. And I'll get into that later in the sermon. But there was two main things I found in the Bible that the Lord finds pleasure in us having zeal in. And the first point is His Word. And that's kind of what Ben was going at, you know, reading it daily. There were three characters in the Bible that I found who had a zeal for God's Word. The first one, if you could turn to Job chapter 23. I like the background noise, it's great. But the first character, obviously, by the name of the book is Job. And in chapter 23 of Job, verse 12, it says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Now for Job, that's a pretty gutsy statement to say, because, and especially for us in these days, because if you look at, you know, we're Baptists, we're Americans, and we love food. For instance, the seniors just went and gorged a Famous Dave this afternoon. But do you esteem food higher than your spiritual food? Because your physical body could be doing just fine. Your physical, you could be nice and healthy, you could be full of food, but if you're not esteeming spiritual food above your physical food, your spiritual man is dying. And so are we willing, I wrote this down, are we willing to eat the Word instead of eating food? Like, if we wake up late, like, I'm guilty of this too, we're all guilty of this, your alarm goes off late, you have to get to work, and you're like, well, I'll read my Bible later, and yet you'll grab food on the way out the door. Are you willing to sacrifice that time to fulfill your spiritual needs for eating? It really touched my heart, because I'm one of the most guilty of this. You know, you wake up late, you're like, well, I'm just gonna go, I'll read tonight. And then, you know, procrastination is a wonderful sin. You know, you're like, oh, I'll just do it later. And then you're like, oh, I forgot to read today. Oh, whatever. You know, I'll do it tomorrow. And if you're not careful, that will get a hold of you, and then you'll be like, oh, I haven't read my Bible in 3 years. And you're like, where'd the time go? And then you realize you're really backslidden and all that. But that verse really spoke to my heart. It's like, are you willing? Because I love to eat. I mean, I love food. My parents can attest to that. Their grocery bill will be cut in half when I leave. But are we willing to read the Word instead of eat our physical food? The second character I found, if you could turn to Psalm 119. I'm sure you guys know where this one's going. The second character who had a high esteem for God's Word was obviously David. And there are multiple verses in Psalm 119 that, well, every verse except for like three or four have a synonym in it for God's Word. I know my dad preached on Psalm 119 a couple weeks ago. I didn't steal from his notes, but there's every verse in there has a synonym for God's Word in it. And I'll just read a few verses. In verse 9, obviously the one, "Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Verse 11, everybody knows, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Verse 78 says, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts." And then verse 148 will be the last one I'll read before I talk about them. "Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word." Now, David had an insane zeal for God's Word, because he wrote most of the book of Psalms, and he wrote this whole book about how great God's Word is. And the Lord, for his zeal, as well as some other things, called David a man after God's own heart. Now, we all know what happened in 2 Samuel 11 with David later in his life. I mean, he messed up, he sinned bad, but he repented, and the Lord forgave him. That just shows that no matter what you've done in your life, if you are repenting and you're willing to ask the Lord for forgiveness, and you have a zeal for his word, God can still use you. You may be like, well, I've sinned, I'm done, you know, I can't do anything for the Lord because I got this in my life, I got this problem, I got this problem. God's like, hey, if you repent and have a zeal for my word, I can use you. And that was also another thing the Lord touched me with. It's like, you know, you're always like, or going back to earlier, I'll read my Bible later or whatever. If you don't have a zeal for his word, when is God going to use you? You're like, well, this is what the Lord called me to do, you know? And you're like, well, did you pray about it? Did you read your Bible about it? And I'm guilty of this too. But he's like, did you seek about it? Well, I prayed. Well, did you read my word? Do you have a zeal for my word? Because I can't use you if you don't have a zeal for what I gave you. Like Brother Darling's analogy all the time. If I had a gift for you, all you'd have to do is come up and take it. And if you're like, well, I'll get it tomorrow. You know, like if somebody was giving me a gift, I'd be like, yeah, okay, sure. But it's just we have the most precious gift in the world right in front of us. We have a note from the Heavenly Father. It says in 1 Peter that we also have a more sure word of prophecy after Peter's done talking about the name of Jesus Christ. And it's a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. And he says the Bible is more sure of a more sure word of prophecy. And yet we'll let it sit on a nightstand because we have a Bible that's fine. We can read it whenever we want to. There are some countries in Europe, Saudi Arabia, Russia, all the Muslim countries that don't even have access to a Bible. If they were caught reading a Bible, they'd be shot or beheaded. And we have the freedoms in and privileges in America to be able to read this and proclaim it. And I'll get into that later. But we don't. We're just like, well, we have the freedom, so we can read it whenever we want. There are some people who would do anything to get 3 verses of the Bible, in of God's word, because they're thirsty for God's word, but they can't do it, so they have to sneak around underground, like Brother Christofferson. He has to be underground under the radar of the Chinese government, so he can get the word out. And yet we'll sit here and we'll procrastinate and be lazy, and we'll be like, well, I'll go another day without reading, and we don't realize that this is from the God who gives us breath, and he can change your life like that. I mean, you can be going one day and then bam, car accident, and then maybe you won't be able to see, maybe you won't be able to hear, and then what are you going to do? You're not able to read God's word anymore. So we need to take advantage of that and the freedoms we have in this country. And then the third character who had a zeal for God's word, if you could turn to 1 John, and this is the one that's really stuck out to me. If anyone knew how to love God and keep his commandments, it was the disciple who Jesus loved. It was John. If I can find 1 John. In 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." The way you know that, I mean, he says it plainly, the way that we know God, is by reading his word. I mean, a lost person is not going to read the Bible and be like, oh, you know, that really spoke to me, you know, some sin issue or whatever. I mean, it will speak to some people, but there are some things that God speaks to save people in different ways that he speaks to lost people. So if he's speaking to you through his word, then you know that you know him. Whereas if you're not reading it, you're like, well, am I really saved? You know, I'm not really getting convicted on anything, and maybe I'm not really saved, and the doubt creeps in, and it's like, you just got to fall back on the word. The word will help you through anything. The doubt comes from the devil. It doesn't come from the Lord. And another verse in that book is in chapter 3, verses 22 and 24. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Wait a minute, that's not right. Oh, that's chapter 2. Well, that's a good verse too, but it doesn't apply to what I'm trying to say. Chapter 3, verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And then verse 24. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." That's exactly almost what he was saying in chapter 2. We know that we know him because if we're in his word, his Spirit dwells in us. And then in verse 22, you know, if you're praying for something and you're like, well, the Lord's not answering, are you reading your Bible? It says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments." We have a massive book of commandments here, and obviously we can't keep all of them because we're all human. It's our human nature. We sin. But the Lord will give us what we ask if we keep his commandments. Now, he doesn't always give us what we ask because it's not in his perfect will. But he will give us more of what we ask for if we abide by his commandments. And another verse in that same book, chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. this along the very same lines. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So if you want to love the Lord, you're like, well, I love the Lord. Do you keep his commandments? Do you read his word? Because if you're not reading his word, the Lord doesn't look on that as loving him. He's like, I sent my son, I gave you my book. Do you love me? And he said, like he said to Peter on the shore after he rose again, he's like, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord. And he said, feed my lambs. And it says, if you keep his commandments, you will love the children of God and you will love God. So if you want a more renewed love for God, maybe you should start reading your Bible. You know, if you're not reading your Bible, maybe you should do that. And then another verse I got for the sermon, I'll just read this one because it's kind of a ways back. But just kind of to end this point, it says in Proverbs 13, verse 13, it says, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The Lord will reward you if you keep his word, and if you read it. And if you despise it, you're in trouble, and nobody wants to experience the wrath of the Lord. The second point I have is, are you zealous for the gospel? If you could turn to Mark chapter 13, just a couple verses to start out with. Mark 13, verse 10, it says, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. And then if you could turn to Mark 16 as well, verse 15 in Mark 16, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Once again, down in Mexico, this is kind of another thing, this is what spurred this sermon on, was when you walk up to, you know, in America we have beautiful, beautiful houses. I don't think nobody, everybody lives under a roof here, correct? I'm assuming. But you go down to Mexico and you walk up and there's this pile of tires with like three pallets on top. And there's a little, you makeshift fence in front. And you knock on it with a rock and somebody comes out of there. And they're such a poor people. They're just everything down there, the living conditions, everything is just, you have sympathy for them, you have compassion on them, and because they're lost souls. And Brother Darling mentioned something to me on Wednesday morning when the meeting was going on. We're standing in the back and we're talking about it. And he goes, can you imagine living in conditions like this and then dying and going to hell? It's like, what would be more horrible of a life than to live in such poor, horrible conditions than go to even a worse place when you die? And that's what we were trying to do down there, is get the gospel to those people so they have a better end when they pass on in this world. And the thing that spurred my interest and got this sermon going was, what are we doing? We sit, we're in an air-conditioned building, thank the Lord. We're under a roof. It's a magnificent facility. The people in Mexico would absolutely love this. And We have cars, we have homes, we have comfort, we have freedom, we have a great country, and with a great country and great freedom, there's also great opportunity. But we are not taking advantage of that opportunity as much as we could. There are people down in Mexico, the churches down there, the people there, they're in a shack. There was a big, the first church building, you saw how small it was. We were just kind of packed in there on a Sunday morning, you know. And there's a hole in the roof. There's just one fan in there to keep everybody, you know, cool. There's a makeshift bathroom with just a curtain over the doorway, and it's a borderline third world country in that city, and yet they're happy to come to church. Every single person that Sunday morning when they walked in, they shook hands with every person that was in there. They were very excited and happy to be there and fellowship with everybody, and they were so welcoming and excited. There's one old guy there that really, you know, he really tugged at my heartstrings. He was so zealous. He was all the songs they were singing, he knew them by heart. He just leaned back with his eyes closed and just sing away. And it was just a blessing, and it touched me. It's like, we have the freedom to do this in America. We have the ability to do this in America, and yet we just sit around and we find other things to do. Oh, I'm busy. I got this going on today. I got this going on today. Well, if you have open time, you know, go hand out, go knock some doors, go hand out some tracts. The lady at Walmart, when you're checking out, give her a tract. I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty of this too. When I'm at Walmart, I'm like, oh, I want to get out of here because I hate Walmart. And you're just like, I'll take my card, I'll take my stuff, and I'll go. And then you get out to the car, and you're like, oh, I should have given that lady a tract, you know. And then And yet we'll just go on with our daily lives and not even think about it. And yet the people down in Mexico, when we were down there, they're like, okay, you're with these people, and they're like, okay, come on, let's go, you know. And you know, the Mexican pace of life is a little slower than American, so they moved a little slower. But they're always encouraging. They talked to people a lot. They were the girls. I was with Naomi and Emma most of the week, but the girls we were with, who were from the church, were very talkative with the people. They would tell the people exactly what was going on and where the park was, and they were just, you could tell they had an interest in doing what they were doing. And they go home to their houses, and it's just this stone with a door on it, you know, and there's no clean sewer system or anything, and yet they're out serving the Lord no matter what's going on. And we're up here in America just like, oh, whatever, I'll do it tomorrow. Somebody else will do it. That's what the rest of the Christians are saying in this nation today. Because we're in the Laodicean church age. We're lukewarm. We're all guilty of being lukewarm at some point in our lives. And the Lord says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be spewed. That's not very enjoyable. But are you zealous? This church is somewhat of an exception. You know, we're all visitation. There's always a good crowd. The state fair, everybody participates. But I really think we could be doing more. And you know, we're really starting to slack off because we're like, oh, the Lord's coming back soon. Whatever, you know. This is the time when we should really be going at it, because there are lost souls out there who still haven't even heard, and the Lord will come back, and then they'll be like, oh, I was never told, and they'll be like, well, how was that baseball game that one night, brother? You know, and how was that stuff you got from Walmart that one day? You know, and just like, it's all gonna burn. All our carnal things are gonna burn before the throne. It's all gonna be wood, hay, and stubble. I was kind of gonna read a couple verses of encouragement. If you could turn to Romans 1. Something you can kind of use as a battle cry, if you want to look at it that way. But Romans 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm guilty of this too. You're like, you know, there's this short little 4-foot lady at Walmart who's a cashier, and you're scared to death of her because you don't want to give her a tract. You're just scared of criticism. And it's our human nature. We're just kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to sit in my little corner and, you know, stay out of my 6-foot bubble, you know. But we just need to overcome that, because in heaven, I mean, it's none of it's going to matter. It's only going to matter if that person's saved.
Yep.
And if they're not saved, that blood's on your hands, unless you give them a tract, because then the ball's in their court. It's their decision to make. And then the final verse I'll read. I know I'm kind of going long, so I'll go to Romans 13. It's kind of an encouragement for us to kind of get going, because the time's drawing near. Verse 11, I'll read a few verses. "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Now, in the Christian life, we're in the Laodicean church age, but Christ is coming soon. You know, even Paul said back when he was alive, it's the last days. So if those were the last days, if he thought it was the last days back then, how much closer are we now? I mean, we're getting closer every second of the clock. I mean, we don't know when he's coming, but we need to get out and get the gospel out, because it says, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let's forget everything in the world. Forget all its fantasies and videos and dreams and, you know, the American dream and all that. And none of it matters. None of it's going to matter when we get to heaven. We're going to get to the throne, and God's going to be like, what did you do with my son, and how did you tell other people about it? And if we have nothing to show for it, we've really lost our opportunity with this country. So that's just something I wanted to pass by you guys. Lord really touched my heart with it down in Mexico, and it's just, hopefully we can get more zeal and serve the Lord better. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this group of people. Lord, I thank you for their zeal that's better than most churches I've ever been to. Lord, I But you just encourage this church, Lord. Help us to serve you to the best of our ability and help us to serve you better in the coming days, Lord, because we know your salvation is nearer than when we believed. May you bless the rest of this night. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have one more special, and then we'll have an offering.
Jesus Christ for allowing me to go on this trip and saving my soul and allowing me to, you know, go and talk to these people in Mexico, and, you know, a lot of them Catholic, and I see the Mary thing, and it's like my heart was just, I just so bad wanted to talk to them because I know where they're at, and I'm like, I can help you, you know, but I couldn't get the language thing going. And so through this trip, God spoke to my heart to say, all right, you need to learn the language, you know. So I got "For God so loved the world" so far, and John 3:16 in Spanish. But I pray that, you know, what trips I take, whether it be overseas to Europe or another, you know, teen trip, Mexico or whatever, I would like to learn some of the language. So, you know, that just kind of touched my heart, you know, just having that, like, oh, I so bad want to talk to him. But this trip was a huge blessing, and Ben and Jacob, praise God, it's so good to hear them, you know, up here preaching. And you know, I remember Peter stood in a chair the first time he preached, and I was like, praise the Lord, you know. And I'll try to be quick, but this trip over all of them have just been really special to me. But I suppose because now we've pretty much completed all of our, well, we have our whole family, all of our kids have gone to Mexico, and this is my first time going to Juarez, but Dave's gone a few other times. So that was really neat. And you know, thank you, parents and pastor and church, and especially my husband for, you know, just leading this up. Of course, I give all the glory to the Lord. That's where it belongs. But I just want to say thank you. And one of the things that I got, stories that I have was, well, this one too, but The kids really got involved, and I appreciate that. And even in the night, in their dreams, all of a sudden I was up, you know, because I needed to get up there, and all of a sudden I hear, no Espanol. And I'm like, wow, they're sticking with it, praise the Lord. And that was I think it was Paisley, but whoever it was neat. And so we did a thing in Mexico, and then we got to spend a day in El Paso, and that was really fun. The Spanish people did speak some English, so we got to talk to a few of them. But the first guy that I encountered was an American, very tall, blonde, and yeah, I was like, yeah, better give him an English, you know, genre romance. And so I said, well, have you heard about being saved, born again? He's like, well, actually, 2.5 months ago, I got saved in prison. And so he told me his life story, and very sad. He grew up in a satanic home. His mom used to do rituals on him. He showed me an Annalisa's cuts all up his arms and on his legs, he said. And I said, wow, God has brought you through such darkness. And he's like, yeah. And he had a bag, and he's like, and a month ago, a man came up to me and said, do you want a job? And he's like, I really would like one. And here it was, his boss gave him money to go buy a phone. He said, my wife and I have never had a phone. And he's just beaming. I said, you know what? God did that for you. And I said, now you need to pray and ask God to just send you to a really good church. Just ask him. He'll show you, you know. And he just lit up. And it was just, I thought that was just really exciting. But so I do pray that he will. His name, I said, what's your name? And he's like, Big Country. And I'm like, yeah, that fits. He's a big guy. But yeah, thank the Lord. It was a real blessing. And thank you all for praying.
Wow, we're just going to take up a plate in back. What are we going to do? Okay, we'll do a short, quick offering here. And maybe Naomi, you want to play something there? Or you, you got a whole special plan. See, leave it to me to mess it up. Sorry, guys. I'll just sit here.
The guitars. They're playing right there. All right. Garrett, do you want to pray for the offering?
Yeah.
That was a blessing, and the whole trip was a wonderful experience. It's always considered a real privilege to take the teens on something like this, and you know, organize a mission trip, and just seeing them out there just as zealous as can be, trying to get the word of God out, is a blessing to my soul. The other thing is riding back in the vans. I got to sit up front there, you know, and just hearing them singing all the time, just nonstop, and 20, 30, 40 songs from memory. What really was really great was the little kids' songs. I'd never heard them before because I didn't grow up in church like that, you know, so I was like, wow, I'd never heard that one before. So that was a real blessing. But the other thing that kind of was a milestone this trip, and as some of you know, or most of you know, is that this is the last trip for five of the seniors, and all of them. I think Naomi was the first one. I started being their youth pastor, teaching the teens here back in 2012. And so she was the first one. Actually, her first day in class is mine. So I've been through the whole thing together there. And so I got to see these young people grow up over the years. And Samuel's been in about a year now. The other four have been in the whole time. And honestly, as their youth leader, I couldn't be more pleased with the testimony that they've had, with their zeal, with the example they've set for the young people. And I'm really, very thankful for that. So I just got a little something here for each of them. And you can come on up, all you five of you. And just a little token of my appreciation. Hopefully something you can be a blessing to you there. So I can get it right. Samuel, there you go. Ben, Naomi, Jacob, that'd be on Lisa. But thank you guys all very much. We'll really miss you. But there's nothing greater joy than seeing a young person going out serving God in whatever capacity they have. So thank you guys, and we're praying for you. So.
All right. Do you guys have energy in you for one more song? Well, even if you didn't, we're singing one anyway. So if you could pick up the tan book and turn to number 6. Number 6 in the tan book. Thank you.